There we go. Thanks, Jonathan. Boys and girls, it's time for Super Church. Let's give all of our kids a big round of applause. There they go. Oh, my. Boy, some of them just can't wait to get out of here. Praise the Lord. All right, do we have our Bibles today? Yeah? Okay. Some of you do, right? By the way, if you have a smartphone, how many of you have smartphones? Let me see your hands. How many of you have stupid phones? Let me see your hand. Some of you raised your hand twice. It's just, and I'm sure it's the phone's fault. There's an app that you could download on your iPad or your tablet or your smartphone called, it's actually called the Bible app. It is the number one downloaded app in all the world, and it's free. And so if you've got a phone and maybe you just can't figure it out, find a 12-year-old, and they will guide you through it. Isn't that terrible? But I encourage you, because you could always have your Bible handy right there in your phone. It's really, really nice, and really comes in handy for your pastor, that's for sure. All right, I'm going to invite you to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. The first one's going to be in John 4. So why don't you go to John 4. And this morning I'd like to share a message that we have entitled simply, Chill Out. Chill Out. Some of y'all need to chill. To chill out. I want to talk about rest today. And I'm going to preface my words by saying that this is not necessarily for the person who stayed up until like 2 in the morning last night and didn't get a nap the night before. I mean, if that is you, this certainly could apply, but I want to go a little bit deeper than insomnia or not getting your required 6, 7, or 8 hours, whatever that is for you. I think there comes a time in our lives, different stages of our lives, because of where we might be in life, where we just get a little worn down. Yeah? Yeah. And that wearing down is not necessarily just physical. I shouldn't say just physical, but it's more. It can be more than physical. I think in our journeys, as we try to get closer to the Lord and we're trying to follow Him, well, how many of you know life happens and life still gets messy sometimes, right? Right? And so we deal with stuff and we deal with people and we deal with the world and we deal with ourselves and we find ourselves pretty tired or fatigued physically, but also emotionally, which might be the one that we seldom see, but it'll often manifest itself physically. Maybe even spiritually we're tired. And I want to take a look at somebody who was tired. You may have heard of him. His name is Jesus. And this is a picture of Jesus that we, you know, Thomas Kincaid or whoever, they never made a painting of Jesus sleeping. You know, it's like, oh, what's that? That's Jesus sleeping. Usually it's, you know, healing, or he's standing on the boat with the spotlight from heaven and he's calming the sea. But there's a picture of Jesus that we often don't see, but we need to. It's the fact that even Jesus grew tired. And he addressed this in his preaching. And I want to look at a story where Jesus was tired, and I also want to take a look at what Jesus had to say about it. And I would just like for some of you to walk out of here today with a little bit of relief, knowing that God has not created you to live mentally, physically, and spiritually, and emotionally worn out and depleted. There's an answer for you today. And there's a direction that God wants to take you today. So if you think, this doesn't apply to me today, well, it eventually will. Or, this has applied to me for a long time. Oh, it's perfect that you're here. And I think God's going to minister to some people who might be a little tired. Now, having said that, do not sleep during my sermon here today. I will call you out. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But we do have people taking pictures, and we will put it on our church Facebook page if you think I'm kidding. All right, stand with me as we look at the Word together. I'm not going to put your sleeping pictures on. Although that'd be a great idea. Oh boy, that'd be funny as the church goes down and down. John 4, beginning in verse 1, we get this picture of Jesus. It says this, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and he went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour." And now, if you want to, like, put your marker there and turn to Matthew 11, this will be a real familiar passage. In English, they say passage. I'm choosing to say passage. You ever do that? You just combine two words and you sound just really bad. Yeah, it's great for a public speaker. Matthew 11:28. A very familiar portion of Scripture, passage of Scripture. Here we go. Starting in verse 28, Matthew 11, it says this, "Come to me, O you who are weary and burdened." King James says, "heavy laden." "And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find a rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, I pray that you would speak to those of us who might find ourselves a little fatigued, tired, worn out, for whatever reasons. In fact, God, we're going to uncover a few reasons. And Jesus, I pray that today we would not choose to live in that state, but God, we would find the rest that actually comes from you. So Lord, have your way in these next few moments and speak to us through your word. In your name, and we all said amen. 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 You may be seated. Oh, tired. I'm tired. Yeah, let's deal with those moments when we're a little bit tired in life, when our emotions are a bit spent, when our energy is gone. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not here to harp on people who overwork, okay? But having said that, let me go there. Okay? God is not impressed if you overwork yourself. He's not. God is not impressed with your resume if you work like crazy and deplete yourself so much that you never get any rest. And you find yourself getting sick. You find yourself very weak. You find yourself very distracted. God does not give you an extra jewel in your crown for that. I am coming to you as a recovering workaholic. And, they say statistics are 95% accurate, and so I got this. I'm just joking. But I read articles all the time in the internet on the workload of a pastor, for example, and how many of us will work X amount of hours a week, whether that be 40, but the average is actually 60, and all this. And I had to purpose, and this is all free, by the way, none of this will be in the notes, but I had a purpose in my life that I have to make a priority to get rest. And do you know who the greatest example of all was? God. The creation account What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. So do you for a moment think that you're stronger than God? Do you for a moment think that your work ethic is better than God's? No. So God did not create us to be overworkers. So to those of you who, like me, have had to recover from working, now I'm not saying get lazy, okay? I can't stand that. That just, laziness just drives me, I'm sure it drives God nuts, but it drives me into orbit. I can't stand it. So God's not calling for us to be lazy, but please understand that there is room for rest in your life. And overworking is not a sign of being closer to God. Okay? All right. Good night, everybody. No, just kidding. I don't know whom that may have been for, but I really hope you receive that, because I've had to come to grips with that in my life, and it's not bad to say no. It's not. And Thursdays are my day off, and so if I'm not in the office on Thursday, that's why, because I'm taking a nap, and I'm resting, and I'm chilling out. And I need that. But some of us, maybe because of what we've done, or maybe through no fault of our own, we find ourselves so tired and worn out and fatigued. What do we do about that? Well, let's divide this into two sections here today. And I want to help you today, okay? Number one, I want to take a look at the source of our fatigue. What makes us so mentally and emotionally, physically, spiritually spent? What can cause that? What can cause that need for rest, which every one of us has? Every one of us has a need for rest. So what can cause that? Well, who better to look at than Jesus in John chapter 4? Because I believe that there were some things that contributed to that point in our first scripture that we read where it said that Jesus was tired from the journey. And I don't think it was just the walking, although that certainly would have contributed to it, I'm sure. But I think there was more going on in Jesus' life that contributed to his being tired and then made Jesus quite the expert in offering rest to us if we would just come to him. Let me show you what I mean. Number one, what can make us absolutely fatigued, tired, crazy, worn out? Number one, trouble. When trouble's taking place around us, that can wear you down. When you're fighting with the family, that can wear you down. Emotionally, mentally. Hopefully you're not brawling in a cage, but if so, then physically. Jesus found himself in verse 1, where he heard this, and I want you to hear this verse. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Pharisees before? Okay, four, great. And when the Pharisees noticed anything about Jesus, how many of you know they were not offering Jesus a gold star? Oh, you did so good. You know, that's not what they were doing. Every time they uncovered something about Jesus, every time they found something about Jesus, they were trying to twist the law around and try to make him a violator of the law, or they were just trying to make trouble for Jesus all the time. And here, now they're saying, oh, look at this. Jesus is baptizing more people than John the Baptist is. And what are they doing? They're trying to start trouble. Troublemakers. Now, thankfully, we never get troublemakers in churches. Right? Right? At least not this one. And this church is great. We don't major on the minors here. And if you are a troublemaker, just, you know, they got a nice building there, but just go there. I didn't say that. Okay. So there was opposition. There was opposition that Jesus was experiencing. Opposition will, in time, when it's constantly coming, it will wear you down. Now, Ephesians actually tells us that our struggle, our battle, is not against flesh and blood. Okay? Our battle, it's a bigger picture. Principalities, powers. The enemy of our soul is at work when trouble comes. Sometimes it manifests itself through people, but it's a work of the enemy. Well, how many of you know that that will eventually tire you out? That will wear you down. We have a very real enemy, and I know he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I don't know if he's always pouncing and just trying to commit those crimes instantly. I think for many people, there is a process of wearing people down. Little by little, to try to make their defenses weaker and their resistance to him smaller. And little by little, he will use trouble to eventually wear us down. You may be there today. Something's been going on in your life, whether at home, work, school. The list can really be endless in here. And you're wondering, what is going on? Well, you might remember last week, we said the source of our trouble is never God. The source of our trouble is the enemy of our souls. And what he's trying to do is wear us down and make us defenseless and eventually make us defeated. Secondly, triumph. Not only trouble, how many of you know that your successes can make you tired? Oh, yeah. Again, the same verses 1 and 2, said that the Pharisees heard that Jesus was now baptizing more people than John the Baptist. And in reality, Jesus was actually equipping his disciples to do that. There was some successful ministry already going on early in Jesus' career, early in Jesus' life, early in Jesus' ministry here. And I will stand before you and tell you that when things don't go the way that you want them to go, that can wear you down. But I can also tell you, when God blesses and when things go well and there are greater expectations on you and you have worked hard over and over and over again, it can really take its toll on you. It really can. That's why, and hear me, church, this is why it's important, even if somebody like me or another minister is fruitful in ministry, or you might say successful, however you define that, but you need to pray for ministers and pastors. We need that. You know, if you think I preach a good sermon, and I hope you do once in a while, if you think I preach a good sermon, you need to pray for me. Pray that the enemy doesn't come in and try to use pride. Pray that everything that I see points back to the Lord. Pray that I don't camp out on last week's whatever that was and just kind of mail it in the next week. You know, there's lots of ways you could pray for your pastor. And when God blesses and when we see growth, then there are oftentimes unique demands that comes with that growth, and there's a lot of expectations, and you just need to continue to pray and pray and pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray for Kyle as he works with our students. That young man works hard, and he needs, especially today, he needs a lot of strength, a lot of strength to be able to reach this generation. I don't know how they do it, but those that are called to reach this generation, oh, do they need the strength and the wisdom of the Lord? Number three, what can wear us down? Transition. Going from one stage of life to another. Being directed by God to go from here to there. Verse 3, this is after Jesus is hearing what the Pharisees are saying. John 4, verse 3 says, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and he went back once more to Galilee. So what happened? all of a sudden there was this abrupt change. I want you to catch this, because sometimes when you read it, you don't understand, you don't realize, but there was just an abrupt change in Jesus' ministry. Oh, don't we love abrupt change? It's been said that the only people who really like change are babies with wet diapers, and even then, they don't handle it real well. Change. Is there a life change in your life? Some good, maybe some bad. Emotionally, mentally, that can really do a number on you. If you switch jobs, some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been there this year. If you change jobs, that is very wearying on you. You can become quite fatigued from that, from the stress of that. Maybe you've moved homes. Is there anything worse than moving? Oh, wow. We still have boxes we haven't unpacked. That was 16 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. So if you're missing a member of your family, they may be in my basement in a box. Maybe you're like us, and we are staring right in the face now the fact that our son is going to be a senior in high school. Those of you old-timers in here, that's freaking you out right now because you remember when he was 1 year old running around with a soccer ball in here. And now he's looking at whatever he's going to do. And that's, I'm thinking, my baby boy. And, you know, so there's a lot of stuff going on. Mom's like, you know, get him out. But I'm kidding. It's actually right the opposite. And it's like, wow, we're in the stage where we're going to be empty nesters pretty soon. Ah! I'm used to that little Italian running around asking for $20 to sing in church, and now I should never have given in to that. But maybe you're at that stage in your life. But that's a lot of stress. Maybe there's some financial strain because your expenses have gone up or your income has gone down. Change. Maybe God's called you in some direction and you're not sure what is going on, but you know that he's speaking to you. Change. Transition. That can wear us down. A couple more. What I would call number four, for lack of a better word, I'd call it trust. Now, there's only 7 words in verse 4. And if you don't stop and read it slowly, you could miss it, okay? John 4, verse 4 says, now he had to go through Samaria. Stop there. Okay. Anybody know what nationality Jesus was? Jewish. Very good. Very good.
He wasn't Italian. That's what his picture looks like.
That's his yearbook picture. So Jesus was Jewish, and the Jews often classed with a group of people called the Gentiles. Correct? Some of us, if we've been near our Bibles, we've probably heard that once before. The Jews and the Gentiles don't get along very well, or didn't get along very well. Well, there was this hybrid of people where a mom or dad from the Gentiles and a mom or dad from the Jews would make babies, and they were a mixture of both. And Jews and Gentiles did not like Samaritans at all. It's like, okay, I don't like the Gentiles, but ooh, Samaritans, please. No way. It was a mixture, a hybrid, a half-breed that was often thought of as being the lowest of the low. And Jesus, a Jewish man, had to go through Samaria. See, oftentimes Jewish men went around Samaria. They didn't go through it. For a Jewish man leading a bunch of Jewish guys with him, 12 Jewish followers, into Samaria, that is not something you would naturally do as a Jewish man. Follow me, please. Jesus was doing, and his disciples were doing, something that Jews naturally and normally would not do. So it took a lot of trust in God's directing in order to do this. And we read later in John 4 that God had all this planned out. But hear me. Are you at a point in your life where you find yourself going somewhere or doing something that naturally you wouldn't do, but God has led you to do it? Are you at a point where God has kind of stretched you a little bit out of your comfort zone, where it would not make sense in the eyes of all the people around you to do this? Jesus, you have to go through Samaria? Seriously? I know a shortcut. We don't have to go there. But Jesus had to. Are you at a place where you're at a have to from God that may not make sense to anyone else? Are you at a place where God is saying, I want you to minister to these people or this person? I have to do this, but it makes no sense to the people around you. God has dropped something on you and said, I feel that God has told me that I need to give of my resources in such a way that I bless the kingdom of God. And it's a lot of money for me, and it doesn't make sense to the people around me, but I have to do it. I have to trust God that even though this direction doesn't make sense to them or me, it makes sense to God. You there? Have you ever been told by God to do something and you are constantly badgered by people? Like, why are you doing that for? That doesn't make any sense. What are you doing that for? Because I know that God has told me to do this. That can be tiring. And finally, just plain and simple, the trip. Verses 5 and 6 says he comes to Sychar and he is tired. He's tired from the journey. Did Jesus sin to make himself tired? No. See, I'm giving you a lot of good reasons why people can be tired. Oftentimes the stuff that you cannot control. And yet you find yourself tired. The demands on you because of your family are huge, and you find yourself tired. The demands on you because of your career choice are huge. And it makes you emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically spent. You're tired. What do? Now, if I ended the sermon now, it'd be kind of a bummer. Okay, bye, everybody. But thankfully, there's an answer. And if I've described you in any way, shape, or form today, I want to hearken one more time to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29 and 30. Here's what Jesus has to say to you as we take a look at the solution for our fatigue. What do we do? We've seen the source, but now look at the solution. What do we do about being so worn down when that happens to us? Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find a rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me give you four real quick steps, and I'm going to close. We're going to eat some great spaghetti. We're going to have a great time together. But before we do, here are these four steps. Number one, there is a reaction that you have to have, an immediate default reaction whenever you find yourself in this state. And that's when Jesus said these three words, come to me. Come to me. this needs to be your default response. If you find yourself in that moment, you need to heed this very important command from the Lord. Because this is a moment when you are mentally exhausted, when you are emotionally depleted, when you are so stressed out, it's hard for you to really even function. When you do that, this is a moment. This is an opportunity. Hear this. This is an opportunity for you to come to the Lord. I'm not suggesting that there's a distance between you and the Lord, and that because of that, you're tired. Maybe that's the case, but in many cases, we get so worn out doing good things, Jesus says, okay, guys, okay, gals, here's what you need to do. Now, come closer. Come closer than you are right now. Come to me. Come to me. And I think he's also saying this, don't go to anyone else. Come to me. Some of us have gotten in some bad friendships and bad relationships because the object of our rest was the wrong person. We went to the wrong person. And you think you're going to find it, oh, he's so cute. That's not your source of rest. Yeah, she's pretty and she looked at me. I think we're going to get married. That's not the source of your rest. I just described some of your dating lives here. That's not the source of your rest. The source of your rest is Jesus. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Don't settle for other people are good. People in the church are good. But first and foremost, we got to come to Jesus first. And then all this other stuff, okay, as he brings these people in our lives, great. But first and foremost, you see, the thing is we can't see him and we want visible gratification for our rest. We want visible strength for our weakness. And so we'll try to latch on to somebody and it's not fair to them because we're expecting them to take the place of Jesus. And none of us in here are Jesus. None of you. So Jesus says, come to me. Your default reaction here has got to be to come to the Lord. I'm so worn out, Jesus. And see, here's the thing. Oftentimes, we will use this as an occasion to distance ourselves from Jesus. We will diminish the role of God's word in our life. We'll diminish the role of prayer. We may even diminish our consistency to the house of God, going to church, because we're so tired, because we're so worn out. And God has put these things like his word and prayer and being part of a body like this into our lives to actually strengthen us. So the very things that God has given us, we tend to step away from and we use our fatigue as an excuse to do it. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. The enemy's trying to deceive you. The enemy's trying to weaken you, and he's trying to eventually destroy you. Secondly, there's a responsibility. And this might be an eye-opener for somebody here today. But you have a responsibility in this. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. And then verse 30, he says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is interesting because here's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say this. He did not say, hey, come to me, all of you who are weak, all of you who are tired, all of you who are worn out, I'll take care of it all, you don't have to do anything. Did he say that? No. He said, take my yoke upon you. He's saying, look, you still got to be active here. You still got to function. Jesus is saying, I'll go ahead and take the heavy load, but you can't just say a prayer and then just sit back and do nothing and wait for your blessing. See, there's more to it than that. We get this silly idea sometimes that when we pray that there is nothing for us to act on. There's nothing else that we need to do. And sometimes we just leave it in the hands of God and who do great things. But sometimes when we say, oh God, help me with my job, that doesn't mean that you don't go to work tomorrow. Oh God, I need help with my classes. And that's a step of faith. I'm not going to go to school anymore. Hallelujah. That's silly. And Jesus is talking to a bunch of tired people. And he says, okay, you've been carrying around the load that's pretty heavy for you, but now I got something else for you to carry. It's a whole lot lighter. But you still need to carry something. Listen to me, church. You still need to carry something. You still got to carry something. But it's not the load that was meant for Jesus to carry. It's the load that he means for you to carry. Oh, some of you missed that. Jesus is not asking you to carry his load. He's asking you to carry yours. But if you drop yours, then we have a problem. And that takes me to number three. There's a reaction, there's a responsibility. Number three, Jesus says, I want to point out that there is a revelation that takes place. There's a revelation that takes place here. Please don't miss this. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn. Learn from me. I don't want to learn. I just don't want all my stuff to get better. I want to be happy. And Jesus says, this is how I make you happy. For you to learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. See, when we pray, it's a whole lot more than asking Jesus to take away all of our problems. We're actually looking at an opportunity to learn more of God. A pastor by the name of Stephen Glover pastored a church in an agricultural area. And one time, he saw a farmer who was using a couple of oxen to plow his field instead of a tractor. He thought it was kind of interesting, so he kind of asked him about that. He said, hey, tell me about this, because you've got one ox he seems pretty strong, and then you got another one, he doesn't seem to be quite as big, but I see you've got other oxen in your field. You could easily use two strong ones. And the farmer replied with something that was absolutely profound and very pertinent to this scripture. He said, the lighter load goes to the weaker ox. And as he's plowing, not only is he dragging a lighter load on the yoke, but he's actually learning from the stronger ox how to do the job. And that's why I'll put a younger, weaker, less strong ox next to a really strong one, because as they work together, that young one, that weak one that's not as strong will actually learn from the other. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And as the two of you walk through your situation together, do you know what's happening? You, I'm not going to call you an ox, but you, weaker, not as strong, younger vessel here. Do you know what you're doing? As you and Jesus walk together, you're learning. You're learning how to overcome this. You're learning, because when the next time this issue comes, you'll be stronger than what you were before, because you've walked with Jesus through this whole thing. And you're wondering why you're going through this, and you're angry at God maybe because of what the lack of results that you're seeing, but you may not understand that this whole time you're actually learning from God how to do what you're supposed to do to be successful as a child of the King. And you're actually learning from the one who has an unlimited source of strength, and he's teaching you how to live. Learn from me. Learn from me. Don't just pray for me to fix it, Jesus would say. Jesus would say, learn from me here. I got something to share with you. I got something to show you. And then lastly, number four, and I really mean it, I'm going to close. there's a recognition here. Because yes, you could say, okay, God, what do you want to teach me through all of this? And I believe he can reveal that to you, but listen, verse 29, Jesus makes a statement about himself. He says, I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. Don't miss this. When you're worn out and you're asking Jesus for strength, do you know what his ultimate purpose is? It's to show you a side of him that you've never seen before. God actually wants to reveal himself to you in a new way. See, perhaps as you walk with Jesus through this ordeal that you're going through, it might dawn on you, wow, God, you don't hate me. God, you do care about me. God, I don't have to measure up compared to other people to win blessing or to get blessing or grace from you. Lord, you truly have forgiven me of my past. And you see, as all this is going on, you are little by little, you're learning more and more and more about Jesus. Could it be that this moment in your life that you have just checked out and thought, oh, well, I'm just not going to recover because I'm so tired, I'm so worn out, I'm so stressed, I don't know what's going to come out of this. And all through this, Jesus would say, I want to reveal myself to you in a way that you have never seen. For some of you, he might want to show you that he's gentle and he's humble. For some of you, you need to know that he is that conquering king. For some of you, you need to know that he is the healer. For some of you, he's the God of second chances and third chances and 23rd chances. For some of you, he is the God who restores. For some of you, he is such a patient and merciful God because, quite frankly, you're a hot mess and you don't understand how he could put up with you over and over and over and over again, but he does. And through all this ordeal, he reveals himself to you. Could it be that he wants to do that? I would say, yeah, absolutely. You tired today? Not from the sermon, but are you tired? Jesus would say, come to me. All of you who are weak, you're burdened, he says, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke, take the load that I have designed for you to carry. Take that. And don't forget to learn from me. In fact, in the process, not only will you learn a little bit about yourself, but you'll learn a whole lot about me. That, ladies and gentlemen, is rest. And that is what he offers to each of us this morning. Can we pray? God, this is kind of it's a different topic, and yet so many of us need this. God, you took rest when you created the earth. Jesus, you found yourself tired, actually multiple times in the Gospels, and Lord, here we are, your children, just trying to live for you. Some of us doing really good at it. Others, we still need some help. And Lord, I believe that to those of us who might be just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically worn down, Lord, you are here now to give us not a temporary fix, but true rest. Where you reveal to us what we need to know about ourselves and to you. With your head still bowed and eyes still closed, I wonder today, just do you need rest today? Do you need God to give you that rest? If that's you, I want to pray for you. Could you slip your hand up? Just say, I need that rest. Oh, a lot of hands are going up. I need that rest. I need that rest. I need that rest that God offers me. I need that rest. Now, by saying this, understand that you're saying, okay, Jesus, give it to me your way. which means he may want to show him, he may want to show himself to you like you'd never have experienced before. And he might reveal something about you in your life that you need to know. But that's okay. That's all part of the process. First thing to do is to come to him. Let's all stand. Can we do that? As a physical act, and I know we got a time of fellowship, it's going to be wonderful, but before we do that, as a physical act of coming to Jesus, where he says, come to me, as a physical act of doing so, can I invite you to either pray at this altar or to pray at your seat? We're going to make this a house of prayer. And just come to him. The Bible says if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So any step you make is a win today. Do you understand? Any step you take closer to God today, that is a win. You have won today. So let's do that. Let's do that today. And I just pray for rest. When God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed to fellowship in the rest of the building. But for now, let's fellowship with Jesus. You ready? Jesus, I'm asking you that you would give rest to your people. God, that you would give strength to your people. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would take away emotional exhaustion and mental strain. God, some of it, we had nothing to do with it, but we find ourselves in the middle of life, and life is just wearing us down. Today, Lord, I pray that you would give us the Jesus kind of rest. Give us the Jesus kind of rest. And Lord, today, you can do that. So Lord, meet with your people, and I pray for rest for their souls, for their minds, for their heart, for their bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray, come to him. Come to him. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.